Turn with me in your Bible to Bible reading for this morning. We look to one of the four biographies of Jesus, this written by a physician named Luke. Luke endeavors to write for us what is a very meticulous and accurate writing of the life of Jesus. And we're just going to look very briefly at one small incident in the life of Jesus. Two women on this Mother's Day. The names are Mary and Martha. It's Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. And he writes these words. While they were traveling, that'll be Jesus and his followers, he entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand." And the Lord answered, "Ah, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her." Truly, may God bless this reading of his word to our lives as we consider it today. And it's Mother's Day, and I have to tell you, I had a number of Facebook posts and emails that sent away different stories for Mother's Day, and one of them I enjoyed was the experience of a four-year-old and six-year-old set of brothers, and they decided to get a houseplant for their mom for Mother's Day. They decided to take it out of their own money. They really wanted to make a sacrifice for mom, so they went. And they bought her this houseplant. And then they came, and of course, Mother's Day morning, they came and gave her the plant. And finally, the older son said, "Well, Mom, we actually saw another arrangement that we really wanted to buy, but we didn't have the money. It was just too expensive for us." And she said, "Well, what made it so special?" She says, "Well, we knew that you always are saying you always wish you could have a little more peace in your life so that you could have time to rest. We take away that peace that keeps you from having rest, and so we saw this arrangement, and we're going to buy it. It had this nice little flyer on it that said, 'Rest, rest in peace.'" I don't know if you husbands or you take your kids out to see about buying mom's flowers. Anybody buy mom's flowers for the day today? Did you buy anybody buy mom's flowers? Okay, don't put your hand up so we don't kill anybody. I decided to go last evening. All of our kids are down in the Philly area. And so I thought, I'll go get Patty some flowers. So I went over to the shop, right? I figured, well, you know what? She always says, "Well, you know, I'm not your mother." I'm like, "No, I'll get it for the dogs, you know, I'll do something like that." So I thought, I'd just go to ShopRite. It can't be that expensive. And I walked in and I saw a stranger walk out of here. Did you go to ShopRite and see the flowers there? Stop and shop. Put it over here. I always get them backwards. I walked right in. I like them. That's the one. I want it. I picked it up, and I got to take it to the cash register. I didn't have my glasses on. I thought it was $18.99. I thought, this is beautiful for $18.99. I got so far, and I looked, and I said, "Wait a minute. The decimal point's off. That's $189.99. She will kill me." Now then, I can buy it, and by the time she sees the debit card or the credit card, it will be too late. They will all be dead. But needless to say, I must confess I didn't buy the $189 arrangement. Wow. But to me, she was worth it. I know she could crown me with many crowns. I'm trying to keep it religious here today, you know? And she's worth it. I thought about it. And I noticed this past week as I was going on the internet, Forbes.com had run an article on what is a mom worth. They asked the question, do you think you can put a price on motherhood? And literally there was a survey that was done. It's now the 16th survey that was done by Salary.com. It's a human resources consultant division of Kinexa. And here's what they have discovered. For those who are stay-at-home moms, I really shouldn't be telling you this. This might get me in trouble with some of the dads here. For stay-at-home moms, they should be charging $143,102 a year for their work. It breaks down to a base salary of $48,000. And they surveyed 16,000 moms, by the way. Just so you figure, this was my hand. 6 years ago, they only interviewed about 6,600. They did 16,000. Base salary for a stay-at-home mom is $48,509. And then they calculated they do an average of 52 hours of overtime, which equates to $94,593. Thus, the mathematics of $143,102. People say, wow, where do they come up with that? They've determined that their motherly duties will include such things as daycare center teacher, CEO, psychologist, cook, housekeeper, laundry machine operator, computer operator, accountant, nutritionist, facilities manager, janitor, event planner, taxi driver, and I could go on. Isn't that pretty impressive? Now, what about the moms who also work outside the house? I'm not about to get into that one. This tells us just how valuable moms are. And the truth is that when it comes to being a mom, especially a Christian mom, and it's true of all of us. So what I share with you today, and I always try to do, is while I would address moms, everything I say this morning can apply to every one of us sitting here today of any age. Being a mom, and a Christian mom in particular, involves making choices in our lives. It's not an easy thing when you look at all that we're talking about that's wrapped up in being a mom. There are choices that you have to make. And those choices aren't always choices between good and evil. A lot of times the choices that we have to make are the choices we make between better and best. In the story we read today, we read about two women who are sisters residing in a town about 2 miles just outside of Jerusalem known as Bethany. The first woman is Martha, as we come to that story. Martha and Mary, sisters yet very, very different. Martha is clearly, she's the working woman, which didn't happen in this day. You didn't have that. But she was that kind. She was all about focus, and probably she had a task list. She had, if you're old enough to remember, she had her, well, if they didn't have, they couldn't have called it the Franklin Planner. They probably called it, give me a good Hebrew name, Scott. She obviously had a planner. She was very focused and determined. Now, you read sermons on this, you will hear people give an evaluation of Martha, and they really will say, well, we don't want to be a Martha. Because Martha really messed this up. She did it all wrong. I don't see that in the story. And one of my pastor friends that I dearly admire, Joe Foch, down at Calvary Chapel in Philadelphia, he doesn't either. And I like how he literally breaks it down into a sentence. I'll break them into two separate parts. The first he tells us is, when you look at the story, you look at the life of Martha. What we really learn from Martha is this, that we need to serve Jesus like Martha. She literally had the passion to serve the Lord. And so when Jesus is going throughout the area, and this is following the time where Jesus had done a lot of miracles. He had fed 4,000. He had fed 5,000 men, plus all their families at one time. And at one point had drawn a great gathering and thousands and tens of thousands of people. But the tide has begun to turn on Jesus. Jesus realized that they wanted him just because he could feed them, give them something to drink, and maybe be the guy that would lead them in the military overthrow of the Romans. And Jesus is like, that's not why I came. And he says words that kind of offended him, that would allude to the Lord's Supper, when he literally said them at one point in time, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not be my followers. They thought that was kind of disgusting. Now he was pointing to what had not been instituted yet. We've come to know the Lord's Supper that signifies Jesus offering his body on the cross, his blood being spilled on the wooden cross at Calvary to forgive sin. But they didn't like that kind of conversation. They didn't like that kind of talk. So they began to leave Jesus. And even some of his disciples were thinking, maybe this thing isn't going to go the way we thought. The Pharisees and religious leaders aren't too thrilled by it either. And so they literally turn around and say to the people in John chapter 9, which when we follow along in another biography of Jesus, we read that they literally hear Jesus speaking, things he's saying, and that he healed a man, and he healed him on the Sabbath, and they're upset by it. And they ask him, he was blind, they ask his parents, what happened? Well, they said he was blind by birth, but he's saying he must be the chosen one, the Messiah. And they basically said, if anyone calls him Jesus the Messiah, we will throw that person out of the synagogue, out of the Jewish culture, out of the Jewish life that we live. They are excommunicated and unwelcomed in our lives. And yet here comes Martha. Martha first, in this very first experience for me, she sees Jesus coming to town, and she invites Jesus, who at one point has said, you know, I don't have any place to stay. There's no place to call my home. Meets he and his followers and says, you come to my home. And he comes. And she's very devoted and committed to him already and begins to make a meal. And obviously we understand that Mary joined him, joined her at least for a time, and cooking this obviously was a lavish meal. But it's only fair that we look a little further, because then as you go a little further in the story of Mary and Martha, they have a brother that evidently this first experience of being with Jesus, their brother Lazarus is there. And obviously Jesus had developed a great fondness and a friendship for this man named Lazarus. And they evidently grew close very quickly. But we hear that people came to Jesus telling that Lazarus was sick and dying. And before Jesus gets to the home of Lazarus, he's dead. Matter of fact, he's been in the tomb for 4 days, the Bible tells us. And Mary and Martha come, and it says that Martha comes to Jesus, goes to meet him as Jesus is coming, and yet again says, come stay in my home. And says, if you had only been here, my brother surely would have died. And Jesus says, well, Martha, I'm the resurrection. And of course, Martha's going to say, Lord, I know that there's a day coming when a great resurrection day is going to come, and my brother will live then. He goes, oh, no. He basically says, no, sooner than that. And he kind of questions, do you understand who I am? And you know what Martha says? This is the kind of woman that she is. She's not afraid. She's committed. She's a server. She's all out for Jesus. And she, like, I give you these words in the outline. She goes, yes, Lord. I know you are the Messiah, the Son of God. That is something she should have never said. Never should have welcomed him into her home. She does, contrary to religious leaders. She says, you're the Messiah, the Son of God. You're the one who's come into the world from God. She's not holding anything back about Jesus. She's demonstrating her courage and convictions, irrespective of what the religious leaders had to say. And so she's going to invite him in. She's serving. She's literally, in our story, going to serve him. And she's going to follow kind of the very example that Jesus is later going to give when Jesus is on the road to the cross, and he's just going to the cross. He says, by the way, do you know why I came? Do you know what I'm really all about? And what he's really saying is, you know, we as Christians, we as moms, we as Christian dads, we as followers of Jesus should be all about. He goes, let me tell you what I'm all about. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he says, I the Son of Man, Jesus, he said, I didn't come into this world to be served. I came to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. Jesus didn't come into this world to say, here, I've come. Come on, give me what's due me. It's not why he came. He came. his first time, his first coming, to come to offer his life on the cross as the Savior of all, who would forgive sin by his death on the cross, who, because of his resurrection from the grave, not just Lazarus raised again, but the day is coming when everyone we know, as we spoke about these families who have lost loved ones recently, a day is coming when Jesus is coming back and all those folks are going to be raised from the grave. He says, but I came to do that. He could just come and said, here, 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 and we'd be in the same predicament. We'd be in the same predicament of sin and being apart from God and not having all the blessing God would have for us. But rather, he said, I came to serve, not to be served. And Martha got that. Now, here's the catch in this story. When you read this, Jesus has to step back and say, Martha, I appreciate your service, and we should all serve like Martha. But he says, we got to serve with perspective. So, Martha, I think you've lost just a little bit of perspective. And when you look at this, people kind of misread when he goes, Martha, Martha. He's not going, Martha, Martha. Every time you see Jesus speak that name twice, I can hear it in my house on occasion. My wife will say to me, oh, Brad, Brad. He's like, Martha, oh, Martha, you intend so well. You really do. But notice what he says. He continues on. He goes, you're worried and upset. You're so focused on so many different things. But you're missing the most important. You've kind of gotten a little bit distracted. It's kind of like a farmer that I read about. He got up one morning and he told his wife, I need to get out in the field. There's fruit on the vine that's ripening. I've got to get out there and get it quickly. And so he goes out to his truck, and as he goes to the truck, he realizes the truck needs fuel. So he gets in the truck, he begins to go off to get fuel for the truck, and as he's driving, he realizes the pigs. Got to feed the pigs. So he stops the truck, he gets out, he goes to the bin to get bags of feed for the pigs. But as he does, he bends over and he notices next to the feed bags are potatoes that are sprouting. And so he begins to look at the potatoes sprouting, but as he bends over to handle the potatoes that are sprouting, Akbai comes by a chicken that's ailing. So he picks up the chicken, he goes to care for the chicken, and before you know it, it's noontime. The heat of the day, the sun's come up, and now the fruit is beginning to fall to the ground. It's been ripening. He hasn't gotten fuel for the truck. As a matter of fact, the very thing he started the day to do, he's not even gotten close to. He's gotten distracted by everything else. Now, is anything else that he did that day wrong? Did he do anything wrong that day? He says, no. Ailing chicken, pigs needed to be fed. I mean, all these things were important things. And that's what's true in your life and mine. As Christians, there's nothing we do as husbands, wives, as parents, going to school. There's nothing really that maybe if we really think about our lives and are focusing our lives, there are a lot of things, most things we do that are important, need to get done. But Jesus said there's something most important in my life. And he goes, Martha, I think you're missing that. You're missing that what's really, really special. He goes, like, and get married. See, that's the second half of that saying. First half is we need to serve like Martha. But most important, we need to worship Jesus like Mary. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, look, Martha, I'm not saying that all that you're doing is wrong. I get it. I know you want to serve me. And I appreciate that. Truth is, sometimes the greatest enemy in a family's life and even a person's life can be a church. When we start finding people in the church that are willing to serve, and we'll work them, and we'll work them, and we'll work them. Did anybody ever encounter that in church? You ever heard the saying, you find a good horse, and what do you do with it? You work it to death. And we as churches can do that. Because we have important things for you to do. There's a lot to be done. But when we get to the point where we get you so busy doing things, but are we giving you time and directing you to what's the most important? And that's to worshiping Jesus. Because it says that Mary, who obviously at one point was out helping Martha, now she's decided to go in and she sees Jesus. And she sits down at the feet of Jesus. It's a sign of submission and worship and adoration. And she just wants to sit and listen to and be with Jesus. Kind of like we do here today. We come and we sit in these pews and we listen. And we want to get a sense that this is where we come. But not just on Sundays. We find that quiet place. My wife will tell you, I have a burgundy chair in the living room. It's my quiet place on a Sunday morning. And when she's gone, it's that during the early morning before I come here, that I just sit. And that's my place to sit, just to be quiet with Jesus. There's a chair on the other side, and I know he's not there. I just think that, I just envision, okay, he's there, and we're here just to have our time. I just want to have that, because that can be the most important. And that's how Mary is. You go to John chapter 11, when her brother Lazarus dies, and like Martha, she comes to Jesus, and it said when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, what did she do then? Yet again, she fell at his feet. Again, a sign of worship, a sign of submission, and said, Lord, if you hear, my brother wouldn't have died. And she just stays there at his feet. And then further on down the road, we see yet again in another portion of John, about a chapter later, Jesus coming to the house of a man named Simon, who is sick. And she comes in an honor and in worship for him. She comes and she brings this jar of perfume. They say the value of it would have been the value of an entire year of work. Imagine, think what you earned in a year. And that's the perfume that you would have bought your wife or your mom for today. She takes it. It might have been her life savings. And she pours it on the head of Jesus. That was a sign of honor. And to the point that it actually fell down upon his feet. And Mark tells us that literally, like in here as well, that lily was on his head. And also, so she would wipe his feet with her hair. And that was, a woman's hair was her glory. She was proud of that hair. But this was a sign of her love and submission and worship. She even used her hair to wipe the oil from Jesus' feet. That's how she was. She was a woman that really saw, look, I want to honor Jesus. I want to love Jesus. I want to spend my life and my time with Jesus. Now, at that point, there were people they saw. She takes this oil as an example. And they were like, why would you have wasted that money? We could have used it for missions instead of you wasted it on Jesus. And Jesus has a very interesting response. The disciples are even like, Judas is freaked. That was after this that Jesus says, Judas says, I've had enough of this. And it's after this that Judas is going to say, clue it, Jesus is okay with this, I'm done. And he's going to go and betray Jesus at this point. Jesus says these interesting words. He goes, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what this woman just did with this oil, this perfume, what she did will also be told in memory of her. And guess what? Something is maybe simple as that. We're talking about Mary 2,000 years later. I would love to be able to do something for Jesus that people are talking about 2,000 years later. How about you? Because it was worship. It was love. We can do all these things. We can do all these things in life as a husband, as a wife, as a parent. And Jesus says they're all good. But are they best? Just a few weeks ago, some friends of ours who've been living in the community were moving down to central New Jersey. We knew we probably wouldn't see them quite as much. And so we had them for dinner, and they stayed in our house. And Patty had cooked a wonderful meal, and she cooks that meal. Came time for dessert, brought the dessert in, but kind of can happen. Just like the farmer, I brought the dessert in, and I'm going to get coffee ready. And I saw the dishes, and I just saw the mess of the preparation. So I began to start stacking the dishwasher. And I started working on the pots and pans. And I could hear Patty yell, so, what are you doing? Nothing. That's my favorite word, nothing. Nothing. You're not cleaning up, are you? What? You're not doing the dishes, are you? Can't hear you. She comes to the door. You're cleaning up, aren't you? I'm like, yeah, this is important. It's because there's something more important. Our friends are here. Yeah. We're not going to see them quite as much. They're going to be going in short order. We can clean that up later. Let's spend time with our friends now, and we'll do that later. And that's what Jesus is kind of saying to Martha, that Mary realized that Jesus isn't going to be here so long. I'm going to spend time. My time is so limited. I got a lot of things to do in my life, but I know when I got an opportunity to spend time with Jesus, just to talk with him, to worship with him, to read his Bible, his word, I got to spend that time and enjoy that time with him. Let me ask you, if Jesus was coming to your house for dinner this evening, he came back. You missed it. He's here, but he's determined he's coming to your house for dinner. What's the first thing you would do? Clean the house. That's what everybody would say. Every time I say, what would you? I clean the house. If you remember when we had in August, we had our annual church picnic. It was a day that looked like it was going to rain. We didn't know what to do. And I finally said, Pat, well, let's make it simple. We'll have everybody come over to the house. We'll just have them come here. That way we don't have to worry about going to the lake where it may rain and get rained out. We'll have them come to the house. What's the first thing she said? I won't have a chance to clean the house. She said, I won't go to church. I'm like, no. I was thinking of the story back then. Being with the Lord's more important. We're not going to worry about that. It's making the decision of what's better, what's best. I worked for a wonderful guy years ago named Stephen Covey. You may have, if you've ever worked, Seven Habits of Highly Effective. How many of you have ever heard of or read the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People? Okay, well, he has a wonderful saying. The enemy of the best is often the good. Do you hear that? The enemy of the best is often the good. We're doing good things, but there's times where something is best. We never get the best because we're so caught up in the good. It's interesting. The psalmist kind of caught it. I think maybe Mary knew this. And maybe she knew this Psalm 27, where it said, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, it's to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. See, for David, that's where God's presence was. It was in the tabernacle and ultimately the temple. That's where God's presence would be. Now, in New Testament times today, God is with us in the Spirit, wherever we may be. He said, I want to live in God's presence all the days of my life. I want to delight in the Lord's perfection. I want to meditate in that place of God, the temple. The most important thing that you as moms can do, but we as dads can do, we as followers of Jesus can do, is be doing the good. But know what's really best is making sure that we have a time each day, and especially a day each week, that's marked out for the best. That's being with God. And that's that last phrase, that little catchphrase to carry with you throughout the week. Just don't get distracted with good when you can have what's best. That's God, time with God. Let's pray about it. Lord, in this short story, this short incident in the life of Jesus, we see a great lesson to be learned. What moms do, what parents do, what we do as individuals, we live in a crazy busy world. So many responsibilities, so many distractions, so many attractions. We can get lost. We can miss what's really important. Most important. I mean, we're doing good stuff. But we can miss what's best. We can learn from people like Mary and others who have learned from her. They don't get distracted. They allow themselves to stop for a moment and say, all this stuff is good, but I'm not going to let that good pull me away from best. I'm going to take time. I want to be with you. I want my kids to see how important you are, that they see that time devoted to you each day. And then each week, my grandkids to see that, my neighbors, my friends, people to see just what it is that you are the best thing in my life. You love me so much, oh God, that you would send your son to die on the cross to forgive my sin, to raise him from the grave, to know that this life doesn't have an end, only a door that leads to a life that is unending in heaven's place with you. And that is your love. And you bid us to call you our Father. And we're going to love you as our Father. And so we're going to spend that time with you, Father, like Mary. Help us to commit a portion of each day, and especially, not child, a time to worship with our family, our church family, each week at the feet of our Heavenly Father. We thank you for the blessing, the love that comes from you. And we take those moments to enjoy that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And especially we have for our moms. Thank you to Jalen and kids.
Your sons rise up and call you
blessed, your husband also praises you. Many women are capable, but you surpass them all.
A mother's hands reach out to bless her children and reach up to praise the Lord. They're always loving, often praying, and ever giving more than she keeps for herself. A mother's hands may tire, but they never expire in their efforts to do good for those she loves. A mother's hands may age, but her influence lasts forever. Happy Mother's Day.
Giving.
Cute.